Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up, you and me. We never, ever, ever give up. Getting hot and heavy with the whipped cream that we bought. Undressing in the kitchen and then getting caught. So many things can go wrong, but we still can get it right. You and me, we're not gonna give up tonight.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
Whether I'm going to Johnny Foodmasters or cruising the parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked pisser.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my fantastic co-host, Mr. Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love to hear from you. Please call us at 855-915-WMFO. And tonight we have so much wonderful stuff for you. I mean, Derek, it's tonight's a very important evening.
It's been an eventful news week, I think, is the best way to describe what's happening right now.
Yes, this is quite true.
Anything but quiet. So, yeah.
Yes.
And later on in the show tonight, today, it's not just been an eventful news week. This is an eventful day in U.S. history because 50 years ago today, we lost Dr. Martin Luther King. And we'll be taking some time to acknowledge Dr. King and his legacy. Which
rightfully so.
Absolutely endures to this day.
I absolutely agree. I was actually, I was out with my dad for dinner last night. And we talked about Martin Luther King for a good half an hour. And some of just everything about him was very interesting. And I don't know if you know, he received the title of Reverend right here in Massachusetts.
Yes, he did. He went to the Boston University Divinity School, which I attended as well. Not the Divinity School, but Boston University.
I was going to say, is there something you're not telling me?
No. and the school was very, very proud of its connection to Dr. King and has a large number of Dr. King's papers.
So, I believe that.
Yeah, they're spread out in a couple of different places, but BU has a large number of them.
And that's, I mean, that's what I think is so important to remember about MLK, Jay, is just that he, it wasn't just about the South, it wasn't just about the Civil Rights Movement. He was just a cool dude. He inspired a lot of people, whether it be about the Civil Rights Movement or not. But we're going to get into that later.
Yeah, so stick around. We'll dig into that. We'll hear one of his more famous speeches.
Yes, we will.
Not the most famous speech, because there is more to Dr. King than just that speech. In the meantime, I think we've got all sorts of fun and exciting news and information that we can deal with.
We do indeed.
If I can, there. Hey, look.
News look, music. There it goes.
Wow.
Well, in local news, two men are accused of trafficking women for sex at two Massachusetts massage parlors set up as fronts for illicit activity. Stephen C. Forsley of Berniston and Yu Liang of Springfield were indicted by statewide grand jury on charges including trafficking of persons for sexual servitude, money laundering, and deriving support from prostitution. The defendants were arrested in January following a months-long joint investigation by Mass State Police, the Attorney General's Office, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and the Springfield Police Department, which I feel like might have had the lesser role in that. It's unclear if they have attorneys, but during the investigation, authorities discovered evidence indicating that both men ran a profitable and organized criminal enterprise. They allegedly used the day spa and health and relaxation spa, both massage parlors in Springfield, as fronts for human trafficking. The businesses also allegedly offered sexual activity between women and clients in exchange for a fee. The Attorney General's office reportedly found thousands of dollars in cash at the businesses and Yang's apartment. I'm sorry, residence. I imagine he doesn't have an apartment. And the Attorney General is using the Healy's Victim Services Division in working with victim service organizations to ensure the victims have assistance. So that part's good. The rest of it is terrifying.
So this was the, what was the name of this? The Happy Endings Massage Parlor?
That's what I love is that it was, there were two of them. It was the day spa and the health and relaxation spa.
Oh yeah, that's healthy and relaxing. If you, as long as you don't have a heart condition, guys, you don't want to go in for the rub and tug if you've got a heart problem.
Oh, absolutely. Well, though, I mean, the second one implies that you will be relaxed when this happens.
You know what disturbs me the most about this story is the way it reinforces stereotypes. That's the real problem with this, you know? Mm-hmm. If people want to go to the massage parlor and get a happy ending, fine. I'm down with it. If people want to go to the nail salon and get a happy ending, you know, I'm fine with it. But could we not be so stereotypical about it? Please. Please. Let's try and elevate. Let's rise up.
I must agree. Well, in national news, Nasim Agda repeatedly aired her frustration with YouTube on online accounts and on a website linked to her before she allegedly opened fire on the company headquarters in San Bruno, California yesterday. Agda, who was 38, was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound after injuring four people during her shooting rampage, according to local police officials. Today, police say they believed Agda was motivated by her anger with YouTube. YouTube policy changes in recent years have made it harder for video creators to earn money on that platform, and YouTube has also narrowed what is considered acceptable and monetizable content, which has made some people a little upset.
So am I the only one who hears YouTube shooting and immediately thinks Logan Paul is at it again? Is that just me or other people?
Well, for me, my first reaction to this was, wow, a female shooter. And, like, how often do you hear that?
Yeah, well, that's not, you hear that. It happens.
Mean, you don't, but think about, I don't know, the last 10, like, big high-profile shootings we've had. And this, I mean, this isn't even, that's the thing, this isn't even high-profile because, no offense, but I'm not trying to be crass or obviously I'm very sensitive to the people who got injured, but like she didn't even kill anybody except herself. Why didn't she just, as you always say, Derek,
always test the weapons on yourself before you go out and conduct the mass shooting? That way you know that they work.
Yes.
You know, in this, she only had a handgun, so she's not.
This is more a fit of rage than I'm going to murder a lot of people.
She's not walking in with an AR-15 and like a backpack full of ammo to do maximum damage. She's just going in to shoot some people.
But if anything, I think this is too, I mean, again, not to be insensitive, but this is proof positive of if we get rid of automatic weapons, she came in with a handgun, only injured four people.
Yeah, well, because people in YouTube had the good sense to run. I would imagine that YouTube is prepared for active shooters on a pretty daily basis.
Well, I mean, if they were that, they'd have metal detectors.
Yeah, well, the metal detectors don't work that well. But she's this
don't work.
This Nazim Agdam is a real piece of work. She's a YouTube star. She's a YouTuber.
I wouldn't say
she's
that's
internet
like
famous.
Very very animal activist-y, as well as...
She described herself as a vegan bodybuilder, director, animal rights activist.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at a picture of her right now. She's not a bodybuilder.
She's very... Oh, no, you've got to watch her bodybuilding videos, and then you will see that she is, in fact, a bodybuilder when she's...
She looks like the girl from Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
When she's not a wannabe Kardashian. spent some time hanging out with PETA. Which may explain a thing or two here because, well, they're all a bunch of rational people over there. Only in America in 2018 are we even talking about, is this story even possible? You know?
Seriously.
And by the way, there are a lot of YouTubers online who are not speaking out against this. They're just sort of nodding their head quietly and going, yep, yep, it's about time.
Well, there are different, as I said about every shooting that's existed, I'm pretty sure, there are different ways to go about disagreeing with something.
Sure.
Like, you have so many other options. And again, a lot of them that people, like we were talking about last week, where is protest helpful? Is it not? But there are lots of ways that seem helpful, but aren't. There are lots of ways that are actually viable. Like, you can... Again, go to your congressman. Be like, you have to let this be a way for me to make money. What I love, if you, I've looked at lots of articles about this today, and I highly recommend the NBC News one, because if you scroll down, the picture they use of her is just so representative of the type of person this was.
Yeah, I've probably seen it by now. She spends a lot of time trying to look like a Kardashian.
She's wearing a fedora with a blue feather accent and holding a giant bunny.
Oh, yeah, that's her bunny. That's one of her animal activism. Because her life was multidimensional, Shay. You have to understand this.
Oh, yes.
Some of it was about animal activism. Some of it was about bodybuilding. Some of it was about wanting to be a Kardashian. And all of it, apparently, was being destroyed by YouTube, which had singled her out for punishment. That's her belief. She put videos out there saying that YouTube is deliberately denying me views and denying me the ability to make money because her whole life is wrapped up in YouTube.
I would say she had four channels that earned more than 9.2 million views on YouTube since 2010. And this is, you have to realize, a lot of it is... People look at weird stuff.
Right. But this is...
That's what this stemmed from.
This is the whole broader problem with I'm a YouTuber as a business model. Okay? Because what you got is a lot of these wannabes running around out there. And the things that they publish get more and more outrageous in an attempt to get that big audience and get that big payday. We had a woman sent to jail last week because she shot...
Which is what's terrifying about this kind of zeitgeist that we're living in.
We had a woman sent to jail last week because she shot her husband for a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. A book was supposed to stop the bullet. It did not. Involuntary manslaughter, but she's still down a husband. And I guess their dreams of YouTube fame are now over. That's just one example of the kind of nonsense that's going on YouTube on a regular basis. Yeah. There were the parents that were abusing their kids on video and posting that on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
They were playing scary pranks on them and then acting, screaming at them.
And then acting so annoyed when everyone got upset about it.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, no, it's just a joke. It's child abuse is what it is, and they finally got called out on it and lost custody of the kids for a little while. I mean, this whole idea that you can make money making video on YouTube needs to go away.
Well, and it's kind of...
The problem is YouTube is trying to take it away from people, and now you get this. Because you shouldn't have been letting people do this in the first place.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of representative not just of YouTube, but there are so many avenues of the internet that have allowed this. It's not just about being talented anymore. It's like, if I can do the most outrageous thing I can think of, just like this condom thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's if I can do, or remember when people used to set themselves on fire on purpose?
Yeah.
That was a thing.
But that was usually a protest thing. Oh, you're thinking
no,
recently.
No, I'm talking like 2 years ago when it was like people using, I forget, I'm glad that I don't know what substance.
I think it was WD-40.
I would say allows you to set yourself on fire without necessarily getting hurt.
Yeah,
but
it was WD-40.
But this is the outlet for just anyone to, there was a reason that only certain people got famous back before the internet existed.
Yeah.
And now it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And if you stop the free-for-all, which is the case here, people are going to get mad.
You discover how many narcissistic wannabes there are in this country when you open up a platform like this.
Yes, exactly.
And when you take that platform away from the narcissistic wannabes, there are going to be consequences, as YouTube learned firsthand yesterday. So they will now turn that campus into a fortress. This is probably not the last time someone will fire weapons at YouTube employees, because the people who are caught up in this are so caught up in this that it's their entire identity. And when you strip someone of their identity and back them into that corner, dangerous things happen. America 2018.
Here, here.
In world news, a caravan of Central American migrants making its way through Mexico will not attempt to cross the U.S. border. I got to move in closer on this one. Eranio Mujica, I just couldn't read the name from a distance. Eranio Mujica, head of People Without Borders, said today that his group will stop its march in Mexico City, but that support will be available at the border for any individuals who want to try and seek asylum in the United States. The caravan of more than 1,000 migrants had been making its way north as part of an annual event designed to raise awareness of migration. The group backed down on plans to travel to the border in the face of threats from President Donald Trump, who suggested he would send the National Guard to the border to deter any possible crossing. President Trump is still trying to get the National Guard down on the border and may deploy them to the border as soon as tonight.
Yes, he is.
This is, as I mentioned earlier, an annual...
Spoiler alert!
This is an annual event. They do this every year. And what they're protesting is not necessarily their right to cross the border of the United States. Although, I've got to draw issue with an organization that calls itself People Without Borders. Okay. I don't know what you're representing there, but you're probably not representing what you think you're representing. But the caravan is a reaction to the culture of coyotes and human smugglers and sex traffickers and all of the people who prey on migrants, particularly children, as they try to get from Central America into the United States.
Yeah, knowing how badly they want to immigrate and knowing they can take advantage of that.
And as much as we can sit here in the United States and say, don't come and you shouldn't come and you shouldn't have left your home, you also have to have that compassion for people who are fleeing some pretty desperate circumstances and then find themselves preyed upon all the way here. That shouldn't be happening either. Yeah. Mexico needs to be a better partner in this than they have been. Because the reason they come through Mexico is because Mexico allows them to come through Mexico. Mexico won't allow illegal immigrants to stay at all. If you try and stop in Mexico, they throw you out.
But if you say, "Oh, we're just passing through."
Yeah, we're going to the United States. They're like, "Oh, that's okay. You can head on up."
You'll be the next section of Mexico's problem.
Please take these briefcases and bags with you. There'll be someone waiting at the border to collect them.
Well, it is. I mean, there's not really any fingers to point. That's the thing, is that there's... Actually, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. There's every finger to point in the situation. It's everyone, and it's part of the problem with inter-country relations, is that we all have different ideas of what's the right thing to do. And when I say we, I mean our administration. I don't mean necessarily everyone in each country.
Right.
But it's one of those things that makes politics and makes international relations so difficult, is that what I see as the right thing to do, someone in Mexico, Vietnam, Korea, India, Italy is going to see differently. And those are just the first countries that popped into my head.
Yeah.
But that's what makes this difficult is that, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that Mexico's right in this situation. I'm not saying we're right in this situation. I'm not saying that Central America is right in this situation. I'm saying that it's what makes it difficult to figure out a concrete solution is that we all have different views of what is right and wrong.
Here's a problem. Despite the stereotype that is put forward, there are very few people walking around this country saying, they took our jobs. They're taking all of our jobs. Yeah, there's a few in every community, but that's not the issue. There also aren't large numbers of Americans walking around saying, they're destroying our culture and they're coming for our white girls. Yes, there are little isolated pockets of those people.
But, well, and I think about places like I've driven through south of San Diego. No one wants to live in Calexico. Like,
No,
I've been living here, or I'm sorry, my family's been living here for 200 years. American wants to live in Calexico or in Brownsville, Texas, or it's a matter of like, why are we, this is going to start a bigger issue and we have.
Well, the question is, why are we opening refugee camps on our borders? Because that's what Calexico is. And that's what Brownsville is.
Why you can't complain about it when they stay.
Those are refugee camps. Okay. That's what they are. You could say once upon a time this was a city or a town or whatever. It is a refugee camp now, and these people who are coming here are largely refugees trying to get away from unspeakable violence back at home. And the problem that we have is, on the one hand, as Americans, as individuals, we look at immigrants and who are particularly immigrants who are fleeing violence and fleeing corrupt governments and fleeing, you know, life-threatening poverty. And we say, yes, let them come. We have more than we know what to do with. We have abundance here. Let them come and have a better life for themselves. That's what's in our hearts. Practically, we know it doesn't work. Practically, we know that attitude has left us now with 15 million illegal immigrants in the United States of America, most of whom can't get jobs anymore. And who inevitably wind up creating little micro versions of their home countries in the areas where they settle. All of the problems that exist back home follow them into the United States very quickly.
But to be fair, I mean, that's been true of every culture that's come into the United States since we were founded.
Well, that's why we shouldn't let the damn Irish in the first place, but we're stuck with them
now. I knew you were going to say that. Well, that was actually going to be my example. I mean, look at, obviously it's changed in the past 10, 20 years, but you look at Southie and some parts of Dorchester that border Southie, my family and people like them did the exact same thing. Came from Ireland, created a small pocket that was exactly like Ireland, just with an American spin. But that's the whole point of America. I mean, that's how, I'm not trying to get all preachy, but that's how it was founded, was people being like, we like this area of our culture, but we need to change this part. So let's go there.
But the difference with the Irish is the Irish were fleeing starvation. The Irish were not.
What do you think all the Mexicans are doing? What do you think all the people from Central America are doing? Starvation, violence, unsuitable living conditions. They're trying to get a better life.
Most of the people who are.
That's exactly what my family did 100 and some odd years ago.
But the Irish that came here weren't fleeing corruption and they spoke the language. The people who are coming from Central America are largely fleeing corruption and violence. And they do not speak the language.
You don't think the Irish people were fleeing corruption? You've heard of the Irish Revolution, right?
I've heard of the Irish Revolution. Corruption that was taking place in Ireland was nowhere near on the scale what happens in places like Brazil and Venezuela and Honduras, where it is an ingrained part of the government and law enforcement, even Mexico, where the drug cartels have become law enforcement, which is why these drug wars persist for as long as they do.
But again, this is, and again, I'm being objective and not trying to be insensitive, but again, this is subjective. It's a matter of, you say, oh, the Irish government wasn't as corrupt. Do you know? Were you there? Like, Same with any immigrant who's ever come to this country, which there have been, there's been every form of immigrant that's come to this country. And yes, a lot of them just form their own little pockets and stay there.
The,
like all the people in the high lettered streets of Southie.
The
but there are people who, despite being raised in a family like that, despite being raised in a culture like that, get out and make the America that everyone likes to think of America as, which is the pretty melting pot, look at all of us doing all this cool stuff.
Correct.
America.
Not disagreeing with that, but if we're going to talk about Ireland, okay, the main reason...
Are we going to talk about Ireland?
The main reason that the Irish had a problem in the United States is because the Protestants did not like the fact that they were Catholic. That was the main... The Irish could have been totally and completely assimilated were it not for the fact that every door to them was closed because the ruling Protestant class in this country said, we don't want those Catholics in here.
But that's neither here nor there. That's exactly proving my point that it's all about subjective opinion in terms of who you are. It's no, that's why I don't pretend to understand
objectively,
racism.
According to World Economic data and United Nations data, Honduras, Brazil, El Salvador, Venezuela are some of the biggest hellholes on the planet.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that Ireland...
Ireland was not a hellhole. People in Ireland were being starved to death by the British government.
I'm sorry.
And had no choice but to leave.
I'm going to have to ask you what your definition of a hellhole is. They were also being shot to death when they tried to fight to get food.
Because that's what the British do. That's what the British did to everybody.
Again, this is my point. I'm not trying to say that things in Ireland back when the potato famine and back when the revolution happened are as bad as what's happening in Central America right now. I am saying that it is all entirely subjective and is all entirely you had to be there kind of thing. You can't qualify people's suffering and say, well, theirs is worse than ours, but these people deserve to be here more because of this, or these people deserve to be here less because of this. You can't qualify it like
sure
that.
Sure you can. That's, look at history. Look at the reality on
I
the
mean,
ground.
You can, but that's how
cases.
People end up dying. I mean, look at why our country started in the first place. It was to escape religious persecution, and then the people that I drive from came here and experienced the exact same thing.
Sure.
Now, it's a matter of evolution. It's a matter of... God, we've been talking about this subject for a while.
and you're no further to swaying me on this.
You're no further to swaying me.
Well,
so
the difference being that I have actual facts and data on my side.
As I do.
No,
I'm sorry. The only difference is that I am right.
I'm not going to say Ireland was a paradise during the time of the potato famine.
I was using
famine.
Ireland as a personal
But I'm pretty sure
example.
It wasn't run by neighborhood warlords driving pickup trucks with a bunch of guys with automatic weapons.
Your neighborhood's warlord is my neighborhood's military presence.
That's a different situation.
Is it?
That wasn't Irish turning against Irish. That was the English oppressing the Irish. Which is what the English are want to do, given the opportunity. They're bad people.
No, but I wasn't trying to say Ireland and this situation. I was using that as an example just because I know a lot about it because it's my actual culture.
Right.
I'm saying that is one example of a myriad.
It's my culture, too.
Of examples. Well, be nicer to it. Of a myriad of examples that... cannot mirror, of course, because every situation, as I said, is different, and I'm going to use this word again, subjective, but that it's unfair to say this, not that, unless you're in the middle of it.
I don't think in Ireland at the time of the potato famine...
And by the way, more people speak Spanish in this country than English now anyway.
I don't think at the time of the potato famine, mothers were worried about their kids being raped daily and recruited into the gang life.
I'm sure
they were worried about their kids starving to death.
Or their kids being, like, set on fire by car bombs or being shot randomly in one of the main streets of Dublin or...
You're talking about more recent history, though. Where I'm going back to...
Yes, I was saying potato famine and Irish Revolution. I was talking about both because the potato famine actually sparked the movement that started the Irish Revolution, kind of similar to how King George being a jerk started the American Revolution in
I would say
this country.
Empirically, in terms of numbers, the worst day of the Irish Revolution was better than an average Tuesday in some of these Latin American countries today.
And again, I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying that it is subjective.
No, that's not subjective.
It is subjective.
I said empirically, by the numbers, that's subjective. That's not subjective. There's a difference there. It's a big difference there.
There is a difference, especially if you consider that the Irish Revolution was 100 years ago and...
I'm talking about the Troubles. I'm talking about recent history. I'm talking about Ulster. I'm talking about Bloody Sunday. I'm talking about the bombings in London.
I'm talking about 1920, whatever. What was it, 1920?
No, I'm saying the worst days of the Irish Revolution, the worst days of the separatist movement.
There's been two,
I know,
sweetheart.
The worst days were nothing compared to an average Tuesday in Venezuela.
So, even more proving, why wouldn't we let them come here?
Because the Irish, when they came here, we had need. We had a need for workers. We had people who were coming here who were basically of our culture.
My family came through Ellis Island, got rejected because they had an Irish last name.
Everybody got rejected. Aside the point. The Irish had a much easier path to assimilation in this country than most other people who came to this country did. Even the Italians. The Irish had an easier time than the Italians because...
Oh, that's not true.
The Italians, again, could not speak the language. The one thing the Italians had going for them was that the Irish had opened the door and at least established a Catholic culture in this country. So when the Italians came over, they were like, oh, there's churches. So we've got that. That's more than the Irish had. But you're talking about people who were not from corrupt nations, dealing with corruption. They were fleeing starvation, as opposed to what we have coming from South America and Central America right now. We have people who are fleeing violence. We have people who are fleeing corruption. We have people who do not speak our language, who do not have an education that will get them a job in this country. The Irish, a lot of them did.
No. A lot of them did not.
A lot of them did.
No, this is a ridiculous conversation.
Go back to your Boston
history.
I'm
going back to my family history. A lot of them didn't graduate high school. A lot of them were literally never went to school at all.
But
a lot of them were just farmers, and then there was a famine because the English were doing exactly at Ireland what they did to us
But even those who were educated were shut out of the workforce and forced into menial labor. I'm not saying everyone who came over here was educated. I'm saying that even the educated Irish who came over here were shut out. That was a U.S. problem. That was a problem with us. The problem that we have with the people coming in, trying to come in from Latin America, is that they are bringing death and drugs and violence and corruption and sex trafficking along with them. Because whenever you get one of these refugee camps,
so you're saying
Brownsville, Texas, they are almost immediately infiltrated by the drug gangs who are sitting here waiting for them. They are almost immediately infiltrated by the coyotes and by the sex traffickers and by everybody else. And you have a new outpost of this.
So you're telling me that the Irish immigrants and the Italian immigrants have not brought a spot of sex and murder and corruption to our country. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that.
Well, that's what you're implying. And
that's not even what I'm implying.
You said they did this and they did this. That's what's being implied right now.
The Irish and the Italians that came to this country created cultural footholds. Okay? And yes, the Italians brought the mafia with them. As soon as you got X number of Italians into the United States, the mafia came in and the mafia started running everything. The Irish ran according to the old, what do they call it? The county boss or the town boss or whatever the heck it was. They had their own system,
mm-hmm,
where you had a single guy who was in charge of what everyone in that area would do.
His name was Whitey.
Yes, well. So they brought their own sort of organized, but it wasn't organized crime to the extent of what the Italians were doing. Which is like,
I beg your pardon.
The Irish were not running numbers. They were not running protection schemes. They were not running murder for hire.
Yes, they were.
Not to the extent the Italians were.
In New York, Mickey Spillane, represent.
Not to the extent the Italians were.
Well, now you're just being mean to our culture.
I'm not Eric. Being mean to your culture. I'm not being mean to the culture. I'm saying that there are differences in what, in each one of these. And yes, you've got to put up with a certain level of that. But you're talking about, initially, good people who come in, the criminals follow, and then you got a mess on your hands. So what we have in the United States right now is we have these communities, these refugee camps, if you will, that are ripe for crime. And the more people that you let in, the higher the crime level goes.
But my point originally here is, okay, perhaps in that respect, you're correct. But my original point was no one other than those people, not to sound incredibly snobby, but I'm just or too blunt, but no one other than those people wants to live there. So is it that terrible? And I'm saying worst case scenario, is it that terrible if such crime happens or is committed in, that's where I get mixed up, is committed in a place where everyone who was regulating it before is going to be regulating it here, where they can go to the grocery store and buy some bread.
If the crime stayed in those communities, we wouldn't care. We wouldn't care. We'd treat them the same way that we treat our Native Americans. Whatever's happening on the reservation, your problem, you deal with it. We're not interested.
But I just lived in Southern California. For the most part, it does. For the most part being the operative word, but
for the most part,
a YouTuber shot up the YouTube headquarters yesterday. You can't guarantee anything.
For the most part, it does not. Because those communities wind up being the pipeline for all of the heroin, all the cocaine, all the PCP, and all the other crap that comes into this country from South America. They move through those communities and out to everywhere else.
But we've never had trouble getting any of that. Not speaking personally, I mean, we all on this show know that I dabbled in a few things, but for the most part, I mean, I've at least just in terms of, I've known plenty of people. I used to hang out with artists in LA. They're into weird stuff. But I've known plenty of people who have access to any of that stuff. And all I know is that if my great-grandparents hadn't been able to come here, I wouldn't be sitting in the studio with you right now. I wouldn't have gone to college. I would be one of those dumb Irish girls in a inside-out Gap sweatshirt with crooked teeth and blue eyeliner, just trying to see when the pub's going to close, if I can find someone.
They're the best. Those girls are so much fun.
I do love those girls. I love those girls. Nonetheless, I'm glad I'm not one of them.
We need more of those girls in this studio.
Excuse me.
Co-hosting the show. In sports news, Villanova defeated Michigan on Monday night to win the 2018 NCAA Men's National Championship in basketball. The Wildcats dominated for the second half of the game, winning 79-72 against a Wolverine squad that seemed unable to muster defense. This is Villanova's second national championship in the past 3 years, capping a tournament in which the team dominated opponents from the opening round through to the Final Four. Pennsylvania law enforcement greased light poles around the school's campus, but that once again failed to deter people from climbing them. No horse droppings were harmed in the latest Pennsylvania celebration. So we give the Villanova kids credit for not eating the horse poo.
You mean vanilla no fun?
But you can't
never pronounce you that. Can't vanilla keep a, no fun.
You can't keep a Pennsylvanian off a light post. Law enforcement should just understand that this is reality and proceed accordingly.
I was actually impressed by that. My ex-boyfriend from high school went to Villanova, and it was one of those things. We came back from Christmas for Christmas and looked at each other, and like, I had a blue hair and a tattoo, and he was wearing a polo shirt. It was coral. And we were like, oh, well, Well, haven't we changed? But that's impressive.
Yeah.
Good for you, villain. I can't not say Vanilla No Fun when I say it.
Seems to be pretty...
Vanilla Villanova. It's so much fun saying Vanilla No Fun that I can't not say Villanova.
Seems to be a pretty reasonable celebration apart from people climbing the light poles. I didn't hear about any wackiness going on.
Any car flipping?
No, I mean, I was watching some of it on the interwebs, and it was mostly like, there were a lot of like elementary and high school kids out there, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to go south. So,
well, I knew they were going to win, too. I watched it at work the other day. Well, more, I watched other people watch it at work the other day, and it was pretty clear.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious they were going to win early on.
Well, in entertainment news, a judge handed Bill Cosby's defense lawyers a pretrial victory yesterday, ruling they can call a witness who claims accuser Andrea Constand once boasted she could fabricate sex allegations against a celebrity for money. Cosby's lawyers hope to use testimony from Marguerite Jackson to impeach the credibility of Constand, who alleges the comedian drugged and molested her at his Pennsylvania home in 2004. Jackson, who worked at Temple University at the same time as Constand, was not permitted to testify at Cosby's first trial, which ended with a deadlocked jury.
I don't think that's a reliable accuser.
I think that's someone who wants to be famous.
Yeah, if you've made statements like that, can we find somebody else to set up against Cosby? Because we're all pretty sure that the guy did something bad.
Yeah.
But we need somebody credible to sort of take the point for the rest of the team.
Well, that's just like we were talking about with the YouTube thing, is everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame, and by whatever means. And unfortunately, these are means that some people have access to.
Yeah. In technology news, Facebook. You remember them, don't you?
Oh, those washed up morons?
Yes. Facebook revised the number of people impacted by the Cambridge Analytica breach, and as usual, the number went higher. Facebook now says that 87 million users had their data shared with Cambridge Analytica, up from the 50 million originally reported. That data was accessed through a survey of just 237,000 users conducted by a Cambridge University researcher through an app. Mike Schroeder, chief technology officer for Facebook, revealed the number in a post outlining changes the company will make to protect its trove of user data, including limits on data access for third-party applications, stricter approval for apps using Facebook login, and a new newsfeed link that will allow people to remove apps that collect data. Doesn't all of that reassure you?
Oh, yeah. I feel so much better since this is the same version of the, I don't know, 19 versions of that they've given us over the last, how long is that, 10 years? Or no, when did, 14 years?
Still waiting for somebody over there to say, oh, yeah, we goofed up real bad. And maybe...
Whoopsie daisy.
Maybe we shouldn't be collecting all of this data on people until we know how to keep it safe and not share with everybody.
Maybe that's a really good idea.
Apparently, there were some very obvious security flaws. I didn't list everything this guy talked about, but one of them, for example, was if you were hosting an event and somebody said, I am going to that event, it would then pull that data out along with the data of everybody else who said they were going to the event.
What?
And throw that into the giant Facebook data
stratosphere.
Blender. Yeah. So I say I'm going to an event and suddenly 5,000 other people's data gets sucked in.
That's really uncool, Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Here's what needs to happen. Because I'm in this industry. I do this. I work with Facebook. I work with Google. I understand how all these targeted programs function. And the reality is, targeted advertising, even if it seems a little creepy to you at times, is a pretty good deal. Okay? Because in theory, it is giving you access to things that you are interested in and information that you want and cutting out all of the nonsense that you don't care about. You don't have to sit through 50,000 Geico commercials on the internet every single day because we have targeted advertising. Now, I have no problem with organizations like Facebook collecting data to target those ads. But we need to sit down, Facebook, these other companies, members of the public, and the government, and have a conversation about what data they need. And let me tell you something. They don't need to know every single event that you go to. They don't need to know if you're sneezing and you might have a cold because their microphone is on all the time.
Yeah, they don't need to know that I'm going through a breakup. They don't need to. I literally, when I was going through one of the hardest breakups of my life, I suddenly got all of these ads for chocolates and for nightgowns. That was my favorite one. Nightgowns. Like cozy, like those snuggly nightgowns that you can get when you're just really sad and you need someone to hug you but have no one to hug.
Probably because they're listening to you or they're reading the text of your messages. They don't need to read the text of your messages.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, if I say I'm liberal, totally put liberal stuff towards me. If I say I'm interested in clothes, totally
exactly
gear clothes towards me.
If I buy...
Don't follow my actual individual life and... gear things towards that.
If I buy a Calvin Klein shirt and you want to show me more Calvin Klein ads, totally. I'm fine with that because that shirt purchase is a public transaction. I walked into a store and walked out with a Calvin Klein shirt and people can see me wearing the Calvin Klein shirt. That's fine. But, all good.
But for example, I posted about a couple years ago, I posted about how I was really embarrassed about how much weight I'd gained. The next day, I started getting ads for plus-size clothing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's, by the way, still under plus-size. Thanks, Facebook.
Lane Bryant but loves you.
It's actually Gwynny B. And it's even worse, right?
Yeah. So, here's the thing that most people still don't get about this. You think you're giving all this information to Facebook. It's like, oh, they know what I buy, and they know what I like, and they know everything. And they take all of this... And they have a massive database with a profile of you among its data points that is continually growing until the point where they can form a complete psychological profile of you. They know your likes. They know your dislikes. They know your eye color. They know who your friends are. They know who you get along with and who you don't get along with. They know what your mood is. And they use all of this to target you. It is not necessary.
And there is cool.
And there is no legitimate reason for anyone on this planet to have that kind of detailed data about you.
Well, and beyond that, it's not why at least most of us signed up for this.
No.
I started my Facebook account a month after it came out because it came out my freshman year of college. And it started in Boston and all the schools in Boston spread to New York and to the other schools in New England. It was started as a way to get to know people in your college, get to stay connected with your friends who went to other colleges. And literally the main aspect was to share homework assignments, to share notes. Like, I missed this class the other day. You'd sign in, like you'd write in all your classes you were taking at that moment. And you'd share your notes with your classmates and be like, oh, like, did you get this answer right? Like, I'm confused about how you got it. And this was not what, and then even 5 years after that, still not what people signed up for. We signed up to stay connected to each other, not to have a bunch of random companies advertise to us.
I remember it was a real big deal when they let us normies in.
Yeah,
and a real big deal. It was like, hey, there's college girls here.
You guys were happy. We were mad.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, the college kids were furious. They're like, we don't want...
You need an EDU email address to join.
We don't want old dudes creeping on us online. Come on, ladies.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to get creeped on everywhere.
Well, that's the thing, is it was the safe place. The other place is MySpace, where everyone could join, and I kept getting hit on by 55-year-old lesbians. Mm-hmm. I mean... Facebook was my safe little closet. No, I'm not really crying.
Not anymore. You could have joined Club Penguin. They didn't put up with any of that nonsense over there. There is no reason for them to have this. They should not be allowed to have this.
It's absurd.
Mark Zuckerberg is going to sit down in front of Congress next week and probably try and blow them off. And they're probably going to lob uninformed softball questions at him that betray their complete lack of knowledge and understanding of what's really going on here. So there's something to look forward to next week.
So it's
going to
be the movie The Social Network all over again.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Because the olds who are sitting around in the Senate and the House of Representatives are no more connected to what is happening in this space today than they were 10 years ago.
Well, and don't get me wrong, Mark Zuckerberg is a genius. That doesn't mean that he's not my favorite insult to call somebody that I can't say on the radio.
He is also completely motivated by greed and power.
That's what I'm saying.
As is and by the way, Mark
That's the
Zuckerberg...
thing is, he's a genius and that he doesn't care about anything but wealth, power, and controlling people.
The thing about it is Mark Zuckerberg was not the one that came up with all of this data gathering. That's Sheryl Sandberg, who interestingly has been absent from the public eye ever since this Cambridge Analytica thing broke.
But who do you think empowered her to do that?
Mrs. Lean In has leaned over to a hidey hole somewhere. But she was the one that came up with this. She built this for Google. She built it for Facebook.
I would say, but it's a matter of him coming over and being like, hey, yo. Hey, can I get a piece of that?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds good.
Yeah. That's what she was brought in to do, is to monetize the thing. And she did it's a carbon copy of what Google does.
Yep.
In their display platform. You decide who you're looking for. The problem is they want all this data so that they can so that they can now sell advertisers the ability to advertise things to you before you know you want them. That's the golden standard here. We're going to advertise things to you before you've even realized that you want them. Nobody needs that. Advertising will do just fine without that capability, and we need to find a way to make these companies work without taking all of this data, which, by the way, is the biggest honeypot on the planet.
Yep.
There are no shortage of bad actors out there who would love to get their hands on this database.
And there's also no shortage of stupid people who will go to Google, go to Facebook, see the first ad that pops up and be like, oh my God, how did you not know that I wanted that?
Yeah.
How did you know that I wanted that?
Time for big step back and some regulation.
Yep.
That's the only way you're going to solve this. That is the only way we have ever checked unbridled greed in the history of this country.
Is it pompous to say I knew this was going to happen?
Is regulation. No, it's not. It just shows that you understand history.
Yeah.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your spring forecast. Oh, my God.
What's happening?
You do not want your spring forecast.
Is spring an ironic word right now?
Temperatures fall below freezing tonight with plenty of winds. Lows in the low 30s, upper 20s out there in those colder valleys. Tomorrow, opening day for the Red Sox. Wear a parka, a scarf, and bring some hand warmers. High in the low 40s. It'll be sunny at least. High in the low 40s with strong westerly winds. Lows in the upper 20s tomorrow night. Friday, hey, we might get to 50.
But it's, oh, my goodness.
But it's
going to
rain. But it's going to rain. And then the temperature's going to fall down into the 30s on Friday night, setting up Saturday for snow.
Oh, good. We haven't had enough of either of those things.
Yes, snow coming your way Saturday, possibly lingering into Sunday. No exact word on snow totals yet, or if there even will be any, because the temperature's going to be kind of hovering around freezing.
So it'll mostly just be like the annoying aspect of driving in snow, but not the annoying aspect of digging your car out of snow.
If it accumulates, it's that heavy, wet snow that we all love so much.
Oh, great. I'm going to get some flavored syrup and make a slush puppy.
That's going to stick around until Sunday when the high gets up to about 40 degrees and lows are below freezing again on Sunday night. Your spring forecast, kids. Snow.
April Fool's.
Oh, and by the way, next Tuesday, possible snow.
Wait, what about next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday, it's just going to rain.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's this is...
Oh, so a different kind of precipitation.
If you have
fantastic.
If you have somehow made it to this point in the year without feeling the urge to kill yourself, the gloom that will be descending on us for the next week... may push you over the edge, please, please, please have a hotline number handy.
Xanax, Xanax, Xanax.
When we
Xanax,
come back,
Xanax, Xanax.
Did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Slow cooking, whether on your stovetop or in a slow cooker, can make the economical cuts of meat taste delicious. Less tender cuts like bottom round and brisket taste best if cooked in moist heat, so they're ideal for slow cooking. Since these cuts usually give you the most meat for your money, you can have economy and good taste. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text.